Good morning.
Wow, you're all here. That's great. I'm very grateful to be here at Vision. I'm very grateful for Vision as a spiritual community in our world at this time. And I'm also very grateful to have friends who come hear me when I speak. So thank you so much. So my life is blessed. You know, I know that anyway, but in this moment, I'm really feeling it. So we're still here in the opening days of 2017 with the that is the year, right? Yeah, with the opportunity to set our intentions and get our heads together, so to speak. And so I'm here with the talk inspiration today, and thank you for that beautiful song. I just want to say what they said, you know, it's like, that's it. and Reverend Patty's theme this month is Spirit is Calling. And thinking of that theme, it reminded me of a teaching of Ernest Holmes that is really a prosperity teaching. And it comes out of the Bible, the statement, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so Ernest Holmes writes in the Science of Mind textbook, if it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, we should have sense enough to receive it, right? And I love that. And so I would say, if Spirit is calling, we should have sense enough to listen. And I love that your topic next week is don't hang up. If Spirit is calling, don't hang up. You know, accept the call. Do not decline the call. So the other day I was meeting with one of my many counselors. I have a team, and it takes that to keep a minister going. And and what was said to me was, we're in a time on the planet when we're being guided to new levels of insight and understanding about how we see things. And I wonder if that's true for you. It is true for me. When I look back over the last year, there's been a definite change in how I view things. What used to get me doesn't anymore. You know, and now there are more some other interesting issues. And, you know, I can see the shift. And the guidance for me particularly was accept things as they are and welcome in new things. In other words, and that's just mine, but I think there's some value in that. You have to see if that means something to you. In other words, we spend a lot of energy battling against things as they are. And it might be an interesting shift to say, what would I just like to welcome in? So anyway, that's that on that. So one of the most important ways I think that we shift how we see things is that we can shift how we see our life, and what runs us really. And so I want to make a very simple invitation today, and that is that we each resolve to take a step on our spiritual path, that we move into a new place, and I hope to outline a path for you today that you can see where you are and choose what you want to do, but to take a step and to actually begin to ask yourself the question, what am I inspired to do? What am I inspired to do? Because the minute you ask that question, you're actually beginning to touch into the deeper activity of spirit in your life. And I sure did love that Lloyd Barrett quotation. Thank you very much. So we're talking about inspiration, not so much that comes from the outside, but that which comes from the inside of us. And I want to honor and acknowledge that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And so I'm going to be down at the event that's happening in Balboa Park. I'm looking forward to that. But I think it's wonderful. I'm very happy that I'm doing a talk on inspiration on the eve of his birthday, because he was so moved by the inspiration that moved him. And because of that, he inspired so many people. And so I dedicate this talk to him, to his memory, and to his vision of a world of oneness where there's equity, equality, and justice for everybody. So, yay? Okay, good. So for me, the question or the topic of inspiration concerns a question: what drives our life? What drives our life? Where do we live from, and what do we live from? And, you know, Science of Mind is a practical spirituality. It's all about how we do spiritual living, how we live spiritually. That's the name of our organization, Centers for Spiritual Living. And so it's filled with practical ideas of living on the ground every day in terms of spiritual principle. But Science of Mind is also a big picture. There's a big picture to Science of Mind, and I want to talk about the big picture for a minute. And the big picture is that we are souls on a pathway of discovery. We are souls on a pathway of discovery. And everything that we engage in and that we do and that we choose is for the learning and advancement of our soul when we're living consciously. Everything is for the learning and advancement of this deep divine individuality that we are. And that along this journey, we have the opportunity to move in the direction of allowing more and more of the divine nature to be revealed in us. That every single day is an opportunity to take a step to allow, to move beyond the woundings of the past, the negative conclusions that we have come to about ourselves or about life, which are not the spiritual truth at all and not the truth of our real being, and take a step each day into a greater practice of love and abundance and balance and beauty. Should I say all the qualities of God? Abundance, balance, beauty, freedom, joy, love, order. What's next? Peace, power, unity, wholeness, wisdom. And you can get that CD that's up advertised up there on the qualities of God, right? Is that a CD or DVD? Okay. So every day is an opportunity to step beyond what limits that truth from expressing and step into it more and more fully. At the same time that we're we're moving up a spiral and coming to know that God is what we are. That we are on a path to know that that which spirit is has taken on form as that which we are. And so every day is this incredible opportunity. There is a chant. No, I won't try to sing it for you, but we can say the words together. It is, I am as God created me in the light and the love and the glory. Do you know that song? I am as God created me in the light, in the love, in the glory. And two more times, of course. I am as God created me in the light, in the love, in the glory. And now let's say the whole thing together. I am as God created me in the light, in the love, in the glory. That is a wonderful little thing to sing, a little ditty to sing when you're not so sure of that truth. I sing it to my 4-year-old grandchildren, they're twins, when they tantrum, it settles them right down. They get really curious and they listen. So there is a path to that, to know that we are as God created us in the light and the love and the glory. And within our organization, there's a teaching about that that says we move along a path that has four, I like to think of them as rooms of consciousness in them. And that we start off in the first room of consciousness when we're very young and we're basically at the effect of life. But if parts of us stay in that phase, and also, given the right stress or loss, we can be back in that stage. It's where we feel at the effect of life or we feel victimized by things. And when we are in that stage, we see ourselves as victims or as powerless, and what drives our life is pain. What drives our life is pain and reactivity. And the only value about that is that one day it wakes us up. The value is we will wake up one day. All of you, I bet, can relate to having been in that state and then you came to vision and everything got better, right? Of course. And so what drives us then is the pain and reactivity, but we wake up and we say, wait a minute, I don't want to do this anymore. And so we come into vision, we come into a science of mind community, and we begin to learn about the creative power of thought. We learn affirmation, we learn spiritual mind treatment, we learn how to speak our word and manifest results, and we start seeing ourselves as a builder in life. That we actually can begin to bring into being the career that we want and the home. Jean just moved into her new house, perfect example. Relationship, health, all of those things, we build our life. And what drives us in that phase is the desire to accomplish and to express and to have the very good things in life. There's a little bit of shadow in that stage. Some of the duality is that we can fall into comparison. That's the realm of comparison. I know that one way too well. And I'll have to do a talk on that sometime so I can get over it. Anyway, later. and we could, their competition lives in that stage as well, and we can think, what is it that I need to be, do, or have in order to look okay to myself and look okay in the world? But still, it's a very productive stage. We cannot miss that stage. We need to know how to speak our word, to set goals, and to accomplish. It's extremely important. But there's a subtle shift, and this is where I want to direct our attention today. That after we've been on the path for a while, and we pretty much have things in life the way we would like to, and even if they're not exactly the way we want them, we move into another room of consciousness and we start to feel that something greater is living our life. That all of a sudden there's a new sense that spirit is actually using us and using everything that we have created for its expression. Do you know what I mean? There's just a difference. There's a different kind of feeling. That it isn't just about having the stuff of life. We're actually realizing that we're here with a more, I guess I will use the word important, a more important mission. And that is to be the portal or the vehicle or the place where spirit is expressing the good of itself. And so in this phase, we start seeing ourselves as the vehicle or the portal through which spirit is working. And what begins to drive our life shifts. It shifts from what do I need to be, do, or have to be okay to what's really the truth for me? What is authentic for me? Not what does it look like, but what does it feel like? Does this feel right to me? Is this the authentic truth for my being? Is this mine to do? Is this what I am inspired to do? And so when we talk about inspiration as an inner thing, it's a third room of consciousness kind of thing. And if we want to court the feeling of being inspired from within, we will ask that question and we will also give some time to it. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But it's a subtle movement from being constrained by things on the outside to being inspired from the inside and living in a much deeper place and living in a more unitive relationship with spirit, where the real question, the real concern is, am I allowing spirit to move through me into expression in the most wonderful way? Thank you for the music. It's lovely. And the practice is to open. The practice is to open and to go within and to ask. You know, the first metaphysical school that I went to so many years ago in Seattle, we used to talk a lot about direct knowing. In other words, that the mind that we use is the mind of God and we can ask and know things. And we've lost that thread. So I want to bring it back and to say that anything that you want to know, you can ask to be shown. Show me, Spirit. Some people ask St. Anthony. It's the same idea. You know, when you've lost something, right? Did I have that right? Different tradition for me. But when you want to see and know something, ask and open and be an open space ready to get the answer. And I don't know how long it will take, but it's really interesting to do that practice. It is in that moment of being open and going within that we start to feel what's moving in us that we would call inspiration, and that's where we begin to feel and hear the call of spirit on our life. Because spirit speaks to us in what we're inspired to do. I'm very grateful to be at a place in my life where I don't have to make decisions based on constraints from the outside, at least not too much. And I get to do what I am inspired to do. I'm here because I'm inspired to be here with you today. And I'm happy to be here. It's way different than how I used to live. Michael Beckwith has a wonderful statement. It's pretty old now. He says, pain pushes until vision pulls. Pain pushes until vision pulls. And until we are living in alignment with our inspiration and the deepest call from within us, we are probably living a different kind of life than pure guidance, than pure guidance. And what this reminds me of to me is that we're not here on earth just to respond to crises and difficulties. There are plenty of those. We've got lots of those. If you need some, I'll give you some of mine. But that we're really here about something else, the big picture piece, which is to discover who we are as spiritual beings in human form and to start living a spiritual life where we're living in that flow of spirit on a regular basis that is seeking to say to us, do this. How about this? Because I'm feeling right now there's so much going on in the world, isn't there? So much. And in our country, and it's not all wonderful. And there's lots of fear. That's what concerns me the most, is how much fear there is right now. How much fear. So I'm feeling for new things. Where do I want to play? I'm walking in the Women's March on the 21st. Where do I want to play? You know, what's So I'm asking the question that I'm encouraging you to ask. What's mine to do? What am I inspired to do? And it doesn't have to look like something that inspires anybody else. It's just, what is the truth for me? And I think what this helps us do is build the awareness that behind our visible life, there is this invisible reality that we call God's spirit life. And presidents will come and go, but that reality does not. And so when we look at, I loved your song, Looking Up. In fact, I was going to have everybody look up, so just look up back there. So when we center ourselves in that reality, we have a grounding that is not subject to who's doing what. Because presidents will come and go. I'm not going to say that. Never mind. And that reality is forever expressing itself to and through us. And the farther we advance along the path, and the more we're grounded in that reality, we find our grounding there regardless of conditions and situations. We start to live our life in God. That doesn't mean we're not responding to everything else. So inspiration defined has several meanings. So inspiration is the act of inhaling or drawing in air to the lungs. So take a deep breath, and you can let it go. You just experienced inspiration. It is also the act or power of moving the intellect or emotions. And so when we listen to Janice and Nathan, when we hear an amazing prayer, when Reverend Patty speaks, when we hear something from outside of us that is inspiring, our mind and our emotions are moved, and that is inspiration. We become inspired. But the thing that I'm looking at is this definition: a divine influence or manifestation that qualifies a person to receive and communicate sacred revelation. That's wow, right? A divine influence or manifestation that qualifies a person to receive and communicate sacred revelation. When you are living in alignment with your inspiration in ways that you don't really know, you will be sharing your sacred revelation. You know, that sounds huge, like how could we do that? But it happens. So inspiration lived, that was inspiration defined. Inspiration lived is feeling the activity or movement of spirit in you and opening up to how spirit would like to use you for its expression of good. You know, Ernest Holmes' second room of consciousness statement was, there's a power for good in the universe and you can use it. And we would say in a third room of consciousness state that we're talking about here, there's a power for good in the universe and it can use you. And it does want to use you because we become the portals for its expression. And the good news is we don't have to make this awareness happen, but we do have to make it welcome. We do not have to make it happen. In fact, I'm not sure we can. But it does happen over time as we keep walking the spiritual path and we do our work and we clean up the stuff of the past and we set ourselves free and we come into that practice of allowing more of the divine nature to be revealed in us, something happens and shifts. It is natural to move into a place where we sense spirit moving through us into expression. So how do we make it welcome? We have to give it time, meaning quiet time. We're still in the winter quadrant, and I loved hearing Brenda talk about the work that the children are doing, the hibernation. We're still in the hibernation phase. And in the Native American tradition, this quadrant is symbolized by diamonds under the snow, which means the diamonds represent, or could be seeds under the snow. The diamonds or the seeds represent those little ideas that are starting to stir, that you're actually incubating in the depths of your being. You don't have to know all of it now, but it is just to honor what is it that's beginning to whisper to you about what your next expression will be. And as you listen to it and give it attention, it begins to grow. And pretty soon, spring's going to happen, and all of that will show forth. So here's an affirmation. So we're still in the time when the hours of darkness are greater than the hours of light. And so I would encourage you in the evening when the sun goes down to light a candle and to sit quietly and just feel. What am I inspired to do? What's moving in me? What would I like to express? So here's an affirmation for us. Please repeat after me. Spirit moves through me to lift me, inspire me, and guide me into new self-expression. Spirit moves through me to lift me, inspire me, and guide me into new self-expression. I like this affirmation. Let's do it one more time. Spirit moves through me to lift me, inspire me, and guide me into new self-expression. So be it. And so we're making a distinction here between sort of being driven by the shiny, wonderful things in life that we could go be, do, have, and going within to see what moves there. Now, the truth is, we can engage in anything we want to engage in. That's the value of being an adult. I really like that. We can do whatever the heck we want. And whatever we're participating in, at any level of our existence, we can at the same time begin to open and feel self as a vehicle or a vessel through which spirit is working. And when we do that, we begin to see that wherever we are placed, it's a divine appointment. Wherever we are placed, it's a divine appointment. And when we are living guided from that inner place, it's really interesting, but we find ourselves placed where we never thought exactly we would be. And we have the answer to the question that is being asked in some way we could never have predicted. When we start living in alignment with spirit, out of our willingness to be a vehicle for its expression of good, we are led and guided and directed to being at the right place at the right time for the good that we have and are sharing through us to be expressed. And I know that thing is so. We each have our place in the family of things. That's a phrase that comes from a Mary Oliver poem. We each have our place in the family of things. We each have our spot on the net of life. And no one can fill those places for us. You have your own unique place in the family of things. You have your own spot on the net of life. And when you begin to ask, what is mine to do? What am I inspired to do? That has a lot to do with exactly where you've been placed. And your only responsibility is to be who you are in the deepest truth of your being and accept that guidance and go about doing it. If spirit is calling, we should have sense enough to listen and then get about it, right? So don't hang up. All right. So what I'd like to do is just to do a short visioning process. Are you game? You don't have paper. You don't have pens. Don't worry about it. I mean, if you have paper, you can get it out. And we're going to use just four. So visioning is a third room in consciousness kind of thing, because you're inviting spirit to impart itself to and through you. And there are four questions that we're going to do, and I'll guide you through them. The first one is, what's the highest idea or the divine idea for my life right now? The second one is, what must I become? Don't be figuring it out yet. The third one is, what must I release? And the fourth one is, what am I inspired to do? Okay, so I invite you to close your eyes and go within. This will take just a few minutes. So take a deep breath and let it go. Just feel your feet on the floor and your body in the chair. Begin to connect with your breath consciously, feeling your inhale, your breath rise to the top of your inhale, and watch it as it falls to the bottom of the exhale. And begin to let the in-breath and the out-breath be one continuous cycle, so that you're feeling the wheel of the breath. And know that the wheel of the breath is the eternal activity of spirit within you. And let the center of that wheel be the heart of God. And let that center merge with your own heart center. Just feel the coming together. And breathe into your heart center. And down into the deep place, the cave of the heart. and meet there the indwelling presence, your inner self that sees with the eye of wisdom, that is also the eye of love. And just take a moment to ask it to guide you now. And so in this moment, we recognize this thing that we call God, Spirit, Life, the One. And I invite you to take a moment to feel your absolute oneness with this One. Not only are you one with it, you are it in unique and individual form. And know that you are loved by life, you are loved by spirit, and it's spirit's good pleasure to impart itself to and through you and into expression. Allow yourself to be open like an open chalice, ready to receive. There's no effort here, there's just an allowing. An allowing of words or ideas, a picture, just to come forth into your awareness when the visioning begins. And if there is nothing, just let the space be open, because something will pop in at another time. And so I know that this visioning is blessed and guided for the greatest good. And so we begin, and it's just to ask yourself this question. What is the highest idea? What is the divine idea for my life right now? What is the highest idea? What is the divine idea for my life right now? Just open, receive. And moving to the second question, and what must I become in order to be the place or the space where this high vision is realized? What must I be or become? Just open, listen, feel, receive. And moving to the third question, and what must I release in order to become the place and the space where my high vision can be realized? What must I release? And finally, just feeling very subtly within, what am I inspired to do? What am I inspired to do? So I invite you to take a deep breath and let it go. Ah, nice. Silence was nice and deep. Thank you. Just giving thanks for this visioning time, knowing that that open, receptive place within us is always available. Just take a moment to feel your own deep receiving center. Know that you have invited Spirit to speak to you, to lift you, to guide you, to show you what is yours to do. And so I know already that these ideas received are entities within the spiritual universe, and that in some way that we don't even know how, through time, each one of us begins to see the vision come forth into expression. And we support it by becoming what we're guided to become. We support it by releasing what needs to be released. And we support it by continuing to ask, what is it that I am inspired to do? And so calling this visioning complete now, I give thanks. I give thanks for being here today, for the presence of each one. I give thanks for our company together as we walk the big picture of science of mind, souls on a journey of discovery, allowing more and more the divine nature to be revealed in us while we're spiraling up to the greater awareness that God is what we are, allowing ourselves the quiet time to feel within, to feel our inspiration, and to bring it forth into expression. And so I call it all good. I know it is done. Take a nice deep breath. Get ready to open your eyes. And together we say, and so it is. Wonderful. And let's welcome Nathan and Janice.